Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
It's Wednesday, live from Bonn in Germany. This is Africa Link with me, Aboubakar Diallo. Coming up, the Central African Republic is back in crisis as Muslims are locked in confrontations with Christians in the capital, Bangui. Up to 36 people are reported dead.
Well, what all those events show very clearly is that the intercommunal tensions are still very high, actually, in Kara, and not only in Bangui, so in some other parts of the Central African Republic territory.
Kenya's main opposition party, CORD, files a motion in parliament to impeach President Uhuru Kenyatta.
The president has failed. He's not failing only for CORD. He's failing as a national leader.
These stories and more coming up in the next 25 minutes. Stay tuned.
Top story.
A wave of violence has once again swept through Bangui, capital of the Central African Republic, CAR. At least 36 people are reported dead and several thousands displaced. Interim President Catherine Samba Panza was forced to return home from the US, where she was attending the UN General Assembly. The violence broke out after a motorcycle taxi driver was killed in a Muslim-dominated neighborhood. On Monday, protesters took to the street demanding the resignation of President Samba Panza. Presidential elections are scheduled for October but may be postponed due to the unrest. It is not the first time the country is embroiled in religious conflict between Christians and Muslims. Thibault Lesueur, an analyst on the CAR with the International Crisis Group, joins me on the line from Nairobi. I ask him whether this means that attempts at reconciliation are failing.
Well, what all those events show very clearly is that the intercommunal tensions are still very high, actually, in Kara, and not only in Bangui, so in some other parts of the Central African Republic territory. So yes, of course, this is really a strong message, because at one point, I think the international community might have think that those internal very strong communal tensions were a bit low, but it's a very sad reminder.
The CAR has remained prey to tension between Muslims and Christians. Now, even though attempts were made to separate the two groups, a Muslim-dominated neighborhood in Bangui, that is PK5, has been the epicenter of the killings. What measures do you think should be taken to reduce this tension?
Well, I think, if you don't have any security, then you won't have reconciliation. So I think the number one measure is for the UN peacekeepers to step up and to show that they are effectively able to protect the communities, and especially the one you were talking about, the Muslim communities in Bangui, which live in small enclaves in Bangui and really don't feel that they are protected by the UN peacekeeping blue helmets. So I think, that's the number one measure to take, of course, is to show that we can change the balance of power and we are able to protect you.
Is it wise to separate the two groups in Bangui to actually remove the Muslim groups completely from the capital?
Well, I think, it was a big debate at one point between the authorities, CAR authorities, and the internationals. CAR authorities thought, it is very important to keep the Muslim in Bangui and in many towns, and the international thought at one point that life-saving was more important. I think it's not the right question. The right question, again, is how do we secure this population? There are more than 10,000 blue helmets in CAR, so we should be able to secure a small neighborhood.
Central Africans have been demanding that Interim President Catherine Samba Panza resigns just 3 weeks ahead of the elections. Why is that?
Yeah, I think it's a very important point. I think when you have demonstrations on the street, I think people are angry sometimes. They don't understand why the insecurity is still here. But you also have to make it clear that some of the people who led these demonstrations also have political agenda. And so sometimes they haven't linked to the armed groups. So I think the fact that all this happened when Catherine Samba Panza was in New York is, of course, not a coincidence. There's a strategy to put pressure on the authorities and to enter kind of a political bargaining.
Now, the United Nations peacekeeping mission, MINUSCA, has been blamed for the outbreak of the violence on Monday. Given the mission's history, do you think it's bound to fail?
I don't think it's bound to fail, but I think clearly, as I said before, I think that the blue helmet should, be a bit more, not aggressive in terms of shooting people, of course, but at least arrest the bandits, arrest the criminals, arrest the militias, because if they don't show that they're able to do that, and if they don't show that they're able to protect communities, then you will have quite a strong resentment among the population that, you know, car citizens will tell you in Bangui that they see all the thousands and thousands of blue helmets, all this money spent, but they don't see much difference on the ground.
The UN has obviously denied this accusation that its forces fired on protesters as they were demonstrating the resignation of the president on Monday. Is there any truth in this?
Well, I can't tell you. Actually, I think I don't have evidence. Maybe it's true, maybe not. But in any case, I think that what it shows is that MINUSCA should definitely increase its police capacity, including non-lethal weapons, including also to be able to better manage the crowd movements, what we call the crowd management. So I think, yeah, that's important that there are more capacities, more equipment in terms of police policing Bangui.
Thibault Lesseur, analyst with the International Crisis Group. The violence in the CAR broke out in March 2013 after mainly Muslim rebels known as Seleka seized power in a majority Christian country. That gave rise to the rival Christian group Anti-Balaka. Since then, the CAR has been branded as a restive country prone to religious confrontations. But it's not all doom and gloom in the West African nation, as Brampus Humus found out in the town of Kui.
There is a place where Muslims still practice their faith undisturbed, because their place of worship is still intact, and so are their shops and homes. We are in Kui, in the northwest of the Central African Republic, not far from Chad and Cameroon, and here, in a region where most Muslims have been chased away, this market is thriving. And it's down to the actions of this man.
Bon, merci.
Thank you. I am Yahya Adamu Daouda, Sultan of
Degor.
He is the third in the family line here and assumed his function 4 years ago. The Sultanate itself came about in the late 19th century. And in this part of the country, it predates the presence of the French.
Bia Ibrahim.
The founder of this sultanate is Bia Ibrahim. We govern 4 prefectures in this part of the country, and our relationship with the state is simple. We take care of tradition. The state takes care of administration.
L'état fait de l'administration.
Kui and war are no strangers. In 2007, when another rebellion was building up, the town was attacked. Local gendarmes and indeed the people themselves pushed them back. 6 years later, when another rebellion called Seleka swept across the land, Kui came under attack again.
Bon, l'événement des années passées, c'est passé.
But, thanks be to God, what happened in other places has not happened here. And the reason is leadership. When Seleka came here, I defended this place. And when their adversaries came, the Balaka, I talked to them too, and they listened.
In a land where formal authority hardly exists, having leadership of any kind is crucial. In this case, it is traditional and religious. Indeed, I've heard Catholic priests talking about how they defended their communities in similar ways.
If you're a good leader, you know what you're going to tell someone who wants to do bad things. They listened to my explanations, and this is why this area has remained different from the others. But in order to do that, you must rid yourself of fear. If I'd been fearful, I would not be here today.
Oui, c'est la tradition. Je suis le sultan.
That is one way to fend off violent armed gangs, but there was, of course, another.
À mon main de donner les choses à quelqu'un.
Well, yes, I gave things away, too, because then the intention to do bad things diminishes. I gave them money, I gave them cows, and I fed them as well.
Bribery and persuasion, then. And sure, the presence of a fierce gendarme who means business provides just that little bit of authority that's needed. In Qui, it has worked. Elsewhere, the Muslims have left and taken their business with them. Most of the economy has collapsed as a result. Now, Qui may not be rich, but it is definitely in better shape than the neighbours. The Central African Republic is often portrayed as a place where Muslims and Christians are at each other's throats. They are, at times, for complicated reasons. But Qui is a good place to start examining where things can go right and move the country in a better direction.
Bram Posthumus reporting from Qui in the Central African Republic.
News, analysis and feature reports. All that here on Africa Link.
Kenya's main opposition party, the Coalition for Reforms and Democracy, CORD, has filed a motion in parliament to impeach President Uhuru Kenyatta. CORD accuses President Kenyatta for failing to comply with a court order. Now, earlier this month, the Supreme Court ruled that the government should increase the salaries of teachers by 50% to 60%. President Kenyatta did not comply with that ruling, stating his government does not have the money to increase teachers' pay. Public school staffs have had to extend their strikes to 5 weeks, plunging the country into a standstill. From Nairobi, James Shimayula reports.
To remove Uhuru Kenyatta from the presidency, the opposition motion must be approved by 233 members of parliament from the ruling Jubilee and Opposition CORD. This is unlikely as the opposition only has 130 MPs. John Mbadi, a senior member of the Opposition CORD, confirms that he filed the motion in the National Assembly pending approval.
I want to announce that I've already filed the motion to impeach the President of the Republic of Kenya, Uhuru Muigai Kenyatta.
Ronald Tunoi, who comes from political stronghold of Kenya's Deputy President William Ruto and one who represents the ruling Jubilee Party in the Rift Valley region, described the filing of the motion as a waste of time.
I will be surprised if they will garner the required number of signatures to initiate this impeachment. And more so, but in the first case, it will not reach the floor of parliament. But the problem is the people who are going to bring this motion are political pretenders.
Another Jubilee parliamentarian, Irungu Kangata, from central Kenya, where President Uhuru Kenyatta comes from, cites reasons to support Tunoi's conclusion that the motion will not see the light of the day.
No, it will not be supported for several reasons. One, Jubilee coalition is bigger and the CORD, which is pushing for this motion, has fewer members. Two, they have not tendered good reasons in support of that motion. The key reason which they are citing is that the president has failed to pay teachers. But it's a fact that this country does not have sufficient money.
Alice Chae, CORD opposition member of parliament from Nyamira County in Nyanza region, characterized the impeachment motion as a national issue and not an issue only related to CORD.
I really get worried when I'm finding out that as parliamentarians, we are dividing ourselves into groups when we are dealing with a national issue. The president has failed. He's not failing only for CORD. He's failing as a national leader who is answerable to all of us as Kenyans, 42 million people. We are going to make it. If we fail to make it because of the tyranny of numbers, we could have made the point that we want to impeach the president.
On the other hand, Andrew Mwadime, another CORD legislator from Eastern Kenya, doubts whether the impeachment motion will reach the stage of approval.
In impeaching, it will be a bit difficult because, you see, at the moment, Jubilee has more MPs than unless Jubilee MPs jump to the other side. But of course, everything is to try. Opposition will try.
43-year-old Kenyan teacher Apollo Ogunda stressed the importance of the impeachment.
That is one way through which you can actually make the government and the president himself to know that he should always listen to what's actually judged in a court of law. The constitution mandated the Kenyan people at least to address the issues in a court of law. To the same Supreme Court that actually ruled that the president was legally and actually was supposed to the office legally. So we wonder why the same president is not now recognizing the rule of law.
I also caught up with Akelo Misori, Secretary General of the Kenya Union of Post-Primary Teachers Union, which is teaming up with the Kenya National Union of Teachers, KNUT, to push for payment of raised salaries to teachers. Unexpected and surprising, Misori explained why the opposition's unilateral decision to file the impeachment motion was inappropriate and untimely.
In my view as a teacher, it is not correct. The teachers' problems cannot be politicized. This is a purely industrial relations exercise which should not be hijacked by politicians who are now looking for an opportunity to sidestep the real issues in industrial dispute. It is unfortunate that they are using that position because the teachers are on strike. They have made the teachers' issue a political matter.
James Shimayula compiled that report. You are listening to Africa Link with me, Abubakar Jalo.
Behind the headlines.
Now, Germany has been receiving an influx of refugees from across the world. Many of these refugees are also from Africa who risk their lives crossing the Mediterranean Sea. Those who make it to Europe have to go through several hurdles to arrive in Germany. Once they settle down, does life in Germany really meet their expectations? Fred Mvunyi has been finding out at a shelter for asylum seekers in Bornheim, not far from our broadcasting house in Bonn.
Michael Williams, 29 years old from Nigeria, lives in a house with 20 other refugees from Africa. His room, which normally could accommodate just one person, is now home to five people. The room is equipped with bunk beds and a TV set, which he picked off the street. He looks healthy, but also desperate.
It's not so, we don't have sure, you have to stay wherever they put us by now. And this is where they have decided that we should stay. For this, I'm not happy, but I don't have choice for now. I have to take it the way they give it to me. I can't complain.
Williams started his journey to Europe in 2012 when he and his colleagues drove from Ogun State, southwest of Nigeria, to Libya looking for better lives. Five of his colleagues died along the way, but he made it to Libya. In 2014, Williams says he boarded a boat to east coast of Italy through the Mediterranean Sea. But while on the way, the engine boat stopped and they discovered that the boat was having a technical problem and they were in danger of drowning.
3 hours, 4 hours, we are in the same spot. We don't know where to go. The river was just rolling, rolling, rolling. But suddenly we see that some plane were flying up and they tried to come down and see us there. Then that was where they lead us to the Italy.
Williams, just like other refugees coming to Germany, face same challenges. Whether you are higher educated or not, no one is allowed to work or get a job until an asylum is granted. For almost a year now, Williams is still waiting to know when the German authorities will decide on his case.
Oh. Yeah, no problem.
Bornheim is a city in Germany with a population of 48,000 people. It is now accommodating about 450 refugees. The authorities there do provide them with shelter, food, and medical care. But the head of Department of Social Affairs, Markus Schnapka, says legal complications stop these refugees from getting jobs.
Working is
Work is important. Some refugees come here with the hope of getting a job. Unfortunately, there are no jobs for them. That's a problem. Many of them have to go back.
According to United Nations High Commission for Refugees, there are around 220,000 asylum seekers in Germany. Most of African refugees come to Germany from Senegal, Angola, Mozambique, Guinea, Somalia, and Eritrea.
Fred Mvunyi reporting. Now, in South Africa, religious institutions, non-governmental organizations and celebrities are marching today against what they say is rampant corruption in the country. The march will take place in Pretoria and other cities, and their aim is to highlight the impact of corruption on social deliveries such as health and education. My colleague Jane Ayoko-Kumet has been speaking to our Durban-based correspondent Subri Govender.
Corruption has become endemic in South Africa. According to non-government organizations and academics, corruption and other malpractices have cost the country more than 700 billion rand over the past 20 years. Now, concerned religious trade unions and non-government organizations claim that corruption has become so serious at government levels that this robs the poor of proper services in health, education and other sectors. Very recently, the public protector, advocate Thuli Madonsela, found that there had been serious corruption in a state utility called Passenger Rail Services of South Africa, or PRASA. She found that more than 2 billion rand had been squandered through tender frauds, where, when addressing the media recently, said that if urgent steps were not taken to counter the rising corruption rate, South Africa's hard-fought democracy could be in danger. Now, this is what she had said.
If we don't deal with corruption decisively, it will not only impact on good governance, but it has a potential to distort our economy and to derail democracy.
You just explained the situation in the public sector. What is it like in the private sector?
What is of concern to most people is that some private business leaders have undue influence when they fund governing political parties and other political parties. It has become necessary for political parties to reveal the source of their funding so that the public will know who have undue influence in political leaders and organizations in South Africa.
Now, who are the people leading this protest march and what kind of support do they have?
The former Secretary General of the Congress of South African Trade Unions, or COSATU, Zwelinzima Mavavi, the Anglican Bishop of Pretoria and a senior leader of the South African Council of Churches, Joe Sioka, and Mark Haywood of the Section 27 Human Rights Organization are some of the leaders who are in the forefront of this struggle against corruption. Zwelinzima Mavavi and other leaders have regularly and consistently spoken out against what they term this parasite that is destroying our country. Now, only a day ago, Zwelinzima Mavavi said that if corruption is not tackled, then it will have a serious effect on the country. Now, this is what he had to say.
Without us tackling the crisis of corruption, which is so directly linked to three other challenges South Africa is facing of unemployment, poverty and inequalities, this country, this beautiful country, will lose its direction.
How has the government reacted to the initiative by non-government organizations?
Now, President Zuma and his cabinet ministers have not said anything yet, but one of the ruling ANC's strongest supporters, COSATU, has called on its members not to support the march. In fact, COSATU has stated that action will be taken against affiliate organizations and members if they supported the Unite Against Corruption marches.
Do we foresee a time when corruption will be eradicated from South African government departments?
It seems that many people inside and outside government believe that they can only accumulate millions of rand through the misuse of the government's tender system in the different government departments. So corruption will take some time before it will be eradicated in South Africa.
Subri Govender in Durban.
Opinion.
For your opinion, we have been reporting about developments in the CAR, where fresh fighting between Muslims and Christians erupted earlier this week. Do you think President Catherine Samba-Panza should resign as protesters demand? What is your opinion about the UN peacekeepers? Have they failed to carry out their responsibilities? Send us your opinion via text message to +491609575950. An email to feedback.africa@dw.com or a letter to Africa Link, DW 53110, Bonn, Germany. And before we leave you, a reminder of our main stories. The Central African Republic is back in crisis as Muslims are locked in confrontations with Christians in the capital Bangui. Up to 36 people have been reported dead. Kenya's opposition party, CORD, has filed a motion to impeach President Uhuru Kenyatta. There we come to the end of this edition of Africa Link. Do join us again at the same time tomorrow. As always, thank you for listening. My name is Abubakar Jallow in Bonn. Bye for now.